Good morning. It's apparently it's a musical theme today. Brother Milton played a song, made me think of my message, being thankful for the valley. You'll see how that ties in my message. And this is a different message for you. This came out a little odd. A couple weeks ago, Brother Mark says, "Hey, will you pray for Thanksgiving?" Sure. And normally I get a verse. And everything keys off that verse. I get that verse and I get a couple of ideas and they all coalesce and congeal into a coherent message. And this time it wasn't a verse. It was actually a chorus. We used to sing in a church you go to. Now you can be thankful. I'm not going to sing. My wife, my daughter says I should sing tenor 12 miles away. But it did get me thinking, you know, the chorus is give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for what Jesus Christ has done. Let the poor say I am weak. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the weak say I am strong. What Jesus Christ has done for us. And it got me thinking. I started doing some research. I started thinking, what is Thanksgiving? I mean, yeah, it's a holiday, but what do we really do with Thanksgiving? You know, for some people, Thanksgiving is Turkey Day, right? The three F's, feast, family, football. That's what the day is all about. Now, there's nothing wrong with a good feast. In Exodus, God told the children of Israel, 3 times a year you will come have a feast before me. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was right after the Passover. The Feast of Harvest, which they celebrated the wheat harvest. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, which is exactly 7 weeks after Passover. And then the Feast of Ingathering, which was the end of the harvest. It's also called the Feast of Tabernacles, because they would build booths or tabernacles to celebrate. 3 times a year, the children of Israel came before God to wherever he brought the ark, and they celebrated with a feast. There's nothing wrong with a good feast. I don't know what God would think about football. But there's nothing wrong with a good feast. But is that really what Thanksgiving is all about? Some people will be thankful for the blessings over the year, which kind of fits into the story, right? We know about the pilgrims and, you know, while what we were taught in school may not be exactly accurate, the idea was half of them died one winter and then they got some help and they had a good harvest and they wanted to celebrate, so they had a feast. Some people will sit around the table this coming Thursday and ask everybody around the table, what are you thankful for over the past year? Find one thing that you're thankful for. We live in the freest, richest country in the world. We should be able to find something to be thankful for over the year. But as believers, are we only supposed to give thanks for things we like? So I remember this guy in the Bible named Job. We all remember Job, right? Good guy, upright guy, did everything right. God gave Satan the chance. He wiped out all of his livestock, killed all of his children, left his wife. When that didn't do it, gave him sores and boils and sickness. And his wife says, just curse God and die. What was Job's response? Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He says, are we just going to be thankful when the good stuff happens and when the bad stuff happens, the stuff we don't like? Are we just going to be mad at God? Is that what God tells us to do? See, Paul tells the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What does it mean, in everything give thanks? I start doing some research on this. Where can I find thanks in the Bible, especially things where you wouldn't expect it? And I went through the course of Psalms. About one third of the Psalms mentioned thankfulness or thanks. And I'm like, okay, I could understand singing and giving thanks and all that. But is that what we're told to do? Is that everything? Then I came across Proverbs 3, where it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." God says, I should not despise when he corrects me. Well, if I shouldn't despise when God corrects me, should I despise when my brother or sister correct me? Should I not give thanks for the correction of a brother or sister? Jesus said in Matthew 18, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear, thou hast gained thy brother." Shouldn't I be thankful for those who love me enough to correct me? Why do you think I make a point of saying, if you think I've got something wrong, care about me enough, love me enough to come talk to me about it? Because if I'm wrong, I want to get it right. Does that mean I like when people come up and say, "Paul, I think you got it wrong"? Not particularly. It's not a question of like. When a brother comes up and says, "I think you're doing something wrong," that's not a lot of fun. But I'm thankful that they loved me enough to do it. Proverbs 12 says, "Whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Do you want to be a brute? So, okay, I have to be thankful when there's correction. What else could I find? Well, can we be thankful when bad legislation is passed? Paul, where is that in the Bible, right? Well, who remembers this guy named Daniel? Well, actually, his name didn't start out Daniel, but he got named Daniel. And he lived in Babylonia, and the guys who were against him convinced the king to pass a law that said if you don't pray, you could only pray to the king for 30 days. If you pray to anybody else but the king, you were lion chow. That, to me, sounds like some pretty bad legislation. I think I could go to the Supreme Court with a, you know, religious freedom violation there. This isn't the United States. That wasn't the United States. This is Babylon. So what did Daniel do? Did he go to the Babylonian Supreme Court, find himself a good Babylonian lawyer? No. In chapter 6, verse 10, we read, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Daniel thanked God. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what the king had done, regardless of the risk to his life, he thanked God. Anybody here see the movie Facing the Giants? There's a great scene in there where the coach tells the kids, "Listen, when we win, we will praise him. If we lose, we will praise him." And he followed through. Whenever they won, they praised him. And the one time they lost, they praised him. See, we should not depend on government. We should be depending on God. So we should give thanks even when government screws up, when they fail us, because you understand, they're not the final answer. They're not what we're depending on. So I can be thankful even when, you know, Washington or Nashville pass some goofy legislation. Because ultimately, they're not in charge. Can we be thankful when things are going wrong? And I put those scare quotes up for a reason. Because a lot of things we think are wrong or evil are just things we don't like. But let's face it, it's easy to give thanks when things are going our right way, right? When you sit down and the family's all around and everyone's laughing and having fun and the turkey's made just right and all the fixes, your favorite pie is for dessert, your football team is winning, when you're having a great day, it's easy to give thanks. But what about when things aren't going your way? What about when someone is sick? or there's a problem within the family. There's strife, there's arguments. Can you give thanks then? What happens when that crazy uncle starts a fight just before the Thanksgiving dinner? You know the one I'm talking about. Every family has one, right? You used to. Certain things you don't speak about in certain families, right? Because you know it's going to cause an argument, and they jump right in. What about when you lose your job? Or having one of like what I call those a Murphy day. Everyone knows Murphy's Law, right? Absolutely, you know, everything will go wrong at the absolute worst time. What happens if you're having a Murphy day or a Murphy week? Can you give thanks when everything is falling apart? You know, there's a saying, if you can keep your wits about you and all those around you are losing theirs, you obviously don't know what's going on. If you can give thanks when all those around you are losing their mind, you obviously follow a God who's in charge. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Paul's telling the Philippians, don't be anxious. Pray with thanksgiving. But how do we do that when our lives seem to be falling apart? I'm listening to some podcasts, I'm getting some news, and I'm looking like, it's a mess out there. I look at the world and I see little good things happening. Chance of war, nukes in North Korea. I was talking to my financial advisor. I look at the markets and all that, just waiting for the crash. I mean, it's a mess. Can I still give thanks? He says we are to pray and receive the peace that God gives, which passes all understanding. It's between Thanksgiving and Christmas in my family, there are certain movies we watch every year. First one we watch is called While You Were Sleeping. And in there, there's a scene with the patriarch of the family who's talking to his son. He says, you know, every so often, everyone's healthy. All the bills are paid. Everything's fine. And in that moment, you have peace. See, his peace is depending on what's going on around him. We're supposed to be followers of God. Our peace is supposed to be dependent on God, not whether or not everyone's healthy. How do we do that? Well, we talk about letting Jesus rule in our heart with thanksgiving. A comedian does a great bit. He goes, you ever see people go, I give my life to God. Yeah, what do you give him? My life. Yeah, but what do you mean? Colossians 3:15 reads, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you have called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Are you prepared to let Jesus rule in your life? So I've met lots of Christians for whom Jesus is not the ruler of their life. I can tell, look at how they act. Look at how they make decisions. What God says in his word does not rule in their life. If Jesus is ruling in our life, we are told to give thanks to the Father in whatever we say or whatever we do. Everything. When the crazy uncle shows up, when the car breaks down, when that customer is just driving you crazy and there's like not enough duct tape in the world to keep your head from exploding, thanks. And it's Monday morning, it's like, I gotta go to work. Give thanks. We'll see football players point toward heaven giving thanks for a good play. Do we see them giving thanks when they fumble the ball or drop the pass? See, that's the difference between someone who claims to be a Christian and someone who is a disciple of Christ, someone who follows Christ, who lets God rule in their heart. Are we thankful to let the word of Christ dwell in us? Are we thankful for its wisdom, for its teaching? Yeah, but the word says this. Yeah, but I've seen other people do okay. Yeah, but God's word says this. Yeah, but God's word says this. Who is in charge? Are we thankful when the word of God contradicts what we believe? We all have a preset set of beliefs, stuff we've grown up with, stuff we were taught as kids. What happens when I'm reading in scripture and what scripture says doesn't match up with what I believe? Am I thankful that God cared enough to give me his words so I could see what was right, even if it didn't match what I thought was? Can I be thankful for the word of God? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God has given all of us his word. He has given us scripture, and it's useful for so many things. Am I thankful for that? That's a tremendous resource. Do we show it? When was the last time you spent time reading God's word? He gave you a gift. Here, my word. The instruction manual for the human life. How long has it been since you studied it for guidance, for instruction, for correction? I know a lot of people that will study it for, you know, hey, tell me what I should do, God. Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Not, okay, God, show me where I screwed up. When God brings something difficult to your attention, do you thank him or not? Because God loves you enough to correct you. Colossians 4:2 reads, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Do we dedicate time to prayer, study? Do we do so vigilantly or haphazardly? Do we pray only when we need something from God? Like, you know, he's the giant ATM in the sky. It's a joke, but I see it a lot. Want to try a nice trick? Get a tape recorder and record your last prayer. And then play it back and see what you're actually asking for. And see how much time you're spent asking God, and how much time you spend thanking God, and how much time you spent glorifying God. Now, here's where this thing gets a little interesting, because as I told you, right, this wasn't based on a single scripture. It was actually based on a chorus, and I had all these things, and my wife said I was going nuts because they never congealed. They never kind of, it was no one thing that just put it in order. All right, I'm thankful, God, because I trust you're going to do something with this. I just haven't a clue what it is yet. And then he dropped a little thought into my head. Why is giving thanks so important? Why does one out of every three Psalms talk about giving thanks? Why does Paul repeat over and over and over and over how we should be thankful, how we should be giving thanks? Why? Do we think God is up in heaven and he needs our thanks? Do you think he's up there going, oh, I hope they give thanks, otherwise my magic won't work? No. God created everything. If God wants something, he says it happens. Done. Why is giving thanks so important? And then a really weird thought hit me. See, when I was growing up, We were all taught three phrases, right? Please. Thank you. You're welcome. What does that do with thankfulness? These phrases were drilled into me by my parents to teach me to be polite in public. But I didn't realize at the time, I don't even know if they realized at the time, they made me think about others. Please, may I take some of your time, your effort, right? You show up. Can I have some? What's the magic word? Please. Thank you for giving into my life. You're welcome for what I have given into yours. See, God reminds us to always pray and to do so with thanksgiving. Because not because our prayers change God. They don't. Our prayers change us. God may wait until you pray, until you do something for him to do what he was going to do, but that's to teach us. These preachers say, well, God won't do anything until you pray. It's not like God can't. He's waiting because you need to learn something. Our thankfulness reminds us that God is in heaven, that he is in control. Thank God. I'd hate to think what happened if we were in control. Rather than something we are owed, our very lives are a gift from God, and we should be thankful for it. When there's a child born, oh, a blessing from heaven. Yes, life is a gift from God. Everybody, do me a favor. Take a deep breath. Let it out. The fact that you can breathe is a gift from God. The fact that there's air for you to breathe is a gift from God. I have a little bit of a scientific bent. I love some of these things. I remember learning about the atom and all the bits and pieces in the atom and the forces that hold it together. And there's gravity, and there's electromagnetism, and there's a strong nuclear force and a weak nuclear force. And I thought it was cool that while we understand where gravity and electromagnetism come from, they have no clue where the strong and weak nuclear force come from. They only know that there are these forces that keep the atom from going, and it comes from somewhere. And they tried to discover it, and they built this giant collider, and they were looking for this thing they called the Higgs boson. But when they described it to people, you know how they described it? The God particle. The thing that keeps it all together. That literally keeps you and everything around us from just flying apart. They call it the God particle. Our very existence is a gift from God. The universe we live in is a gift from God. Time and space are a gift from God. Our ability to help others is a gift from God. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might have to give to him that needeth. He says, don't steal. Instead, work. To feed yourself? No, so you can give to others. But if there's one thing we should truly be thankful for, above all else, it's that our names are written in the book of life. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have submitted to him, if you've repented, if you've accepted as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in a book in heaven. Jesus says in Luke 10, he had sent out 70 of his disciples. He says, go out, preach the gospel, do miracles. They came back and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Wait, you're telling me that I can walk on scorpions and snakes? I don't like snakes. I don't like, I can do that. It's not going to hurt. You're telling me I can command demons and spirits and they will obey me and I'm not to be happy about that? That's not what I should be rejoicing in. He goes, no, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. No matter what happens in this world, be thankful that your eternal life is secured by Christ Jesus. Be thankful that he gave his life so that your name could be written in the book of life. Now, we all know how the story ends, right? I get to Revelation chapter 20, and it reads, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up their dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." Sounds like a pretty bad day, huh? Imagine all of your life and you're judged based on it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That doesn't sound like a place I want to hang out for eternity. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's something to be thankful for. Having a bad day? Yeah, but my name's in the book of life. That crazy uncle driving you nuts? Yeah, but my name is in the book of life. Why do you think we're told to spread the good news? Because it's pretty cool that my name's in the book of life, and wouldn't I want that for everybody else too? Be thankful for the blessings that you have. Be thankful when things don't go your way, because God is either correcting you because he loves you, or he's trying to teach you something because you need to know, and you ought to thank him for it. I didn't appreciate what my father taught me when I was little until I was older. Enjoy God's blessings. Share them with your family and with those in need. Enjoy your feast. Share it with others. Enjoy your family. Be thankful, even for the ones that make life a little difficult. You can even enjoy a football game. Give thanks in everything, because he has given you so much. Because you are not the center of the universe. Because it reminds you of what it cost you. Heavenly Father, we've come to glorify you and to thank you for all that you've done for us. And they say familiarity breeds contempt, and I think sometimes we get so used to the life you have given us, we forget what that life cost you. We forget the options of where we may have been born, where we could be living, where life could be so much more difficult. And even there, they are thankful for you because you've paid for their souls. As our nation has set aside a day to give thanks for the blessings you have bestowed on it, let us set aside every day to give thanks for the blessings you've bestowed on us. Lord, bless us and send us out into this world that they may ask us for why we have such joy, that we may point them to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.